Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster with you on this Thursday, May the 3rd, 2012. It's the annual Day of Prayer. Well, maybe that's something Republicans and Democrats can agree on. We are on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, with our simulcast out of Douglas at KAPR AM 930. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com, my website, and the station's website, kvoi.com, and you can hear our program anytime, anywhere at buckmastershow.com, tucsoncentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We are live here Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We will kick things off with our friend Terry Bracey, the Buckmaster Show Washington contributor. About 20 minutes past the hour, the best way to promote Tucson to our friends in Sonora. We'll preview the upcoming Sonoran Region Business Conference. 30 minutes past the hour, we meet the head of CenturyLink's Southern Arizona operation. It's part of our CEO interview series presented by Trio. Then we close out this Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show with our legal contributor, Don Luce. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can join us anytime on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. We begin now with Terry Bracey. Terry's had a 40-year Washington career. He's been asked by three presidents of both parties to serve in appointed positions, most recently founding chair of the Tucson-based Udall Foundation, where he is now chair emeritus. Terry began as an aide to Mo Udall, went on to high-level positions in three presidential campaigns, and a three-year stint as Assistant Secretary of Transportation. Terry's firm in Washington has represented the city of Tucson for three decades. Terry, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Bill. Absolutely great.
Well, I'll tell you, you know a town is going sports crazy when in Washington, the local news, they're leading with, aren't those Caps amazing? Your National Hockey League franchise, the Washington Capitals.
The whole town is in a good mood for a change. We have not only a very competitive hockey team with Alex Ovechkin leading the way, we have now our franchise quarterback that we've always been searching for has been drafted, Archie Griffin, the Heisman Trophy winner. And our baseball team, the Nats, backed by two superstars, young superstars, Steven Strasburg and Bryce Harper, are very much in contention this year. So it's been a long time between cups of coffee for our sports teams here.
Yeah,
when everybody's excited about that.
When was the last time Washington had a big championship? My goodness, this kind of date. Well, this kind of dates me, but I remember the old Washington Senators.
Yeah, you're a little ahead of my time, Bill.
Oh my goodness, maybe a year or two ahead of the time.
Yeah, maybe.
There are some serious issues that lawmakers really need to address in the nation's capital, and whether or not they're going to be addressed, well, that's another story.
Well, you know, the bookstores are full of sad tales about how government doesn't work, can't work, and so on and so forth. We sort of live, unfortunately, in an age of political nihilism. And but, you know, in the last couple of weeks, I had the opportunity to read a new book by Senator Bill Bradley, former Senator Bradley, who's quite a brilliant guy. And I think better than anything I've read in years, this is 150 pages of pure brilliance in which Bradley has identified the situation we're in, which I think is one of the problems. You got to know where you are in order to advance. And then, instead of just focusing on all of the bad news, Bradley goes on to explain how we can get out of this and how we can make progress. And it's quite a remarkable book, and I recommend it to everybody. It's simply called we can all do better. It quotes an old Lincoln speech, and he goes into some detail about how we can make this all work again.
You know, the book explains why idealists arrive in Washington, but those idealists, they become members of the club all too quickly.
Well, there are many temptations. I think everyone, more or less, everyone arrives in Washington with ideals. They usually come here as a result of a campaign, a winning campaign, or to represent the public on some issue. And then for some reason, whether it's our human vanity or it's, just our own personal wealth or whatever, people tend to fall into the spell of Washington and fall in line. And that's what Bradley points to. He calls them the members of the club. And he says that this club is increasingly out of touch with the American people, and that both parties are increasingly in danger of really being overtaken by perhaps a third-party movement.
Bill Bradley.
The other thing, Bill, go ahead.
I was just going to say he's an amazing person. I know he's a personal friend of yours. He was a Rhodes Scholar, as I believe. I think he was a Rhodes Scholar, wasn't he?
He was a Rhodes Scholar. As a matter of fact, he gave up the biggest pro-career offer up to that date. In basketball in order to take a Rhodes Scholarship, and then did come back and play for the New York Knicks and was a Hall of Fame player. Bradley is really an intellectual and quite a historian and analyst, but in this book, he really moves into sort of philosophy, and he expresses his philosophy of connectivity. He says we're all connected. And the greatest things America has ever done have been as a result of our connections with each other and when we all sought a national goal. And then he goes on to say that, with all due respect to his friend Ronald Reagan, that government isn't the problem. Government is the solution. And Bill goes on through American history, points to the Lewis and Clark expedition, the interstate highway system, all the public lands, the mapping of America's mineral wealth, the breakthroughs in national health, and on and on and on, including the development of the Internet, as examples of how government well-used and well-employed has really sparked the American economy. He thinks it's time for government to step in again, but in the right way.
Speaking with Terry Bracey, he is the Buckmaster Show Washington contributor. Terry joins us from the nation's capital at least once a month. Terry, you know, in my lifetime, we were kind of joking about going back to the old days of baseball and the Washington Senators. But, you know, when I think about over the last six decades or so of my life, I think about the moon landing and the big commitment during the 60s. To put a man on the moon, it seemed like we were all coming together. I have really not felt that in a long time in this country.
Bill says that, Bradley says that we are living in the era of I, not we, and that it's what he calls an era of selfishness, and that we have to get out of it in order to progress. And then he has quite a few interesting ideas about what might come to pass if we work together. One of them is the use of Chinese dollars to rebuild American roads and infrastructure. He feels that the Chinese are going to have to find a way to invest all those American dollars in a way that generates a return. And he thinks that American manufacturing and construction is going to be heavily financed if we're smart and create the kind of relationship by Chinese dollars. He lays out a very tough plan to deal with our debt, including the entitlements. It's a terrific piece of work which is carefully thought out, full of history and analysis, And based upon, as I say, this philosophy of connectivity, that we all have to be together for America to succeed.
Where, Terry, let me ask you, when did the era of I begin? Can you point to anything that kind of was a benchmark where things seemed to go in that direction toward the I?
Well, I think it followed the Vietnam War. And what happens really is that we go through these cycles of government regulation and deregulation. We have now been through a 30-year period of deregulation. And what tends to happen during these periods is that when government regulates, it works for a while, and then we reach the extreme and it starts to overregulate, and we turn and we start deregulating. Now we've been in a cycle of deregulation. We've deregulated all of our transportation systems. We've deregulated our financial system. And we've deregulated virtually everything that we could get our hands on in order to spark the economy. And there was a lot of reason to do that. You had old institutions like the Civil Aeronautics Board that used to make decisions on every route and every rate of an airline flies. Well, it's ridiculous. So much of what was done was good, but it's gone overboard. And in the last decade, that combined with the tremendous inflow of money, which Bill calls parsa, a poison, money into the system. And now there's so much money in the system and so much gerrymandered of congressional districts and state legislative districts that the other thing that's combined with this is caused the polarization of the parties. The parties have tended to fall in the hands of their most active, some say extreme elements, and those people are furthest apart. So when they get in a caucus in the Congress, they can't agree on anything. And that's kind of where we've been.
Well, let's hope it turns around, because we need to get back to more of a nonpartisan atmosphere. And let's, again, the name of that Bill Bradley's new book is called We Can All Do Better. It is available in most bookstores, and I know you highly recommend it, Bill Bradley, your friend. And it sounds like it really lays out, Terry Bracey, some very forward-thinking ideas that I think we could all use at this point.
The best political writing I've seen in decades.
Terry, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill. Hello to my friends. Hope to be there soon.
Okay, Terry, have a great afternoon and a great weekend. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
One of Broadway's biggest hits is on tour and coming soon. Disney and Cameron Mackintosh's Mary Poppins, live on stage. Variety raves Mary Poppins is the rare touring production that over-delivers at every level. And now is your chance to experience it.
Disney's Mary Poppins, May 16th through the 20th at the Tucson Music Hall. Tickets start at $29. Purchase tickets at BroadwayInTucson.com or call 1-800-745-3000.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to Buckmaster. I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. This portion of our show is made possible in part by a new sponsor. Support comes from Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. I really like the building they're in. That's a Jostler-designed building, Adobe House Antiques at 2700 North Campbell, kind of just north of the Blue Willow. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. Business leaders from Arizona and Sonora will be meeting for the annual meeting of the Arizona-Mexico Commission in June. As kind of a setup to that meeting, there's a big business gathering coming up May the 18th at the Westward Look Resort in Tucson. This is about talking about ways to break down the barriers to doing business in Mexico. Scott Polston joins us now. He represents an organization called Caballeros del Sol. Scott, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me on.
Tell me a little bit about the organization Caballeros del Sol. Perhaps our listeners are not familiar with it, but it's been around a while.
Yeah, Caballeros del Sol dates back originally to the 1920s. The founding organization was the Sunshine Climate Club. That group changed into Caballeros del Sol and was a division or a committee of the mayor's office of Tucson and promoted the Tucson area and has continued on from that stage. That was in the early 60s, and now we're coming up on celebrating 50 years as Caballeros del Sol, and obviously we are older than that if you include the climate Sunshine Climate Club. We're a completely self-funded, independent organization. Back in the 60s, we were part of the mayor's office, but currently we're independent, and it's a group of 50 business people in Tucson, business leaders, and We kind of operate below the radar. We're and promote Tucson and in particular promote the international trade agenda as a big part of our mission.
Why is this meeting that's coming up on May 18th? Why is this so important as a preview kind of the Arizona-Mexico Commission meeting?
Well, the Arizona-Mexico Commission is a great organization and is diligently working at relations and building that with Mexico. Caballeros del Sol has been traveling to Mexico for 30, 40 years, and our relationships are deep and rich going down into Mexico. And the issues that currently are out there, everything from inland port to tourism to public relations on both sides of the border are something that can be improved. And the Southern Arizona agenda is different than the Arizona agenda. We have a different set of politics down here. We have a different history and cultural relations with Mexico than the rest of the state does. But there's a lot of portions of those different agendas that those the folks a little bit north of us would like to cherry pick out of the Southern Arizona agenda. And being organized is an important thing.
Scott Polston is with us. He's with Caballeros del Sol, the organization that is putting on this business development conference to be promoting trade, logistics. I mean, you've got tourism, sports, athletics, education, tremendous opportunities in cultivating and getting some of those pesos turned into dollars.
Absolutely.
From our friends in Sonora. This is a huge opportunity for Tucson right now. The Ford expansion in Hermosillo doing very well. A lot of the economy is turning around in Mexico. Those people want to come north to spend dollars.
Yeah, we've traveled the last several years down to Mexico and to give you a flavor, none of this is covered very very adequately, and that's why it's so I really appreciate the opportunity. We meet, we go across the border, and 150, 200 business people and economic development people greet us with open arms. We roll into Hermosillo and then continue down to Ciudad Obregón and Port of Guaymas. This last trip, we were at the Port of Guaymas, and we didn't have anything scheduled with the mayor, but the mayor heard we were in town, dropped her entire agenda to greet us.
You're right. So much of the news media coverage concerning Mexico, three things: immigration, drugs, and guns. It's not about the promoting tourism and, as you said, the business opportunities for Arizonans in Mexico and vice versa.
Absolutely. And the folks down there are smart. They're smart. They're open. The state of Sonora, as for instance, has made a tremendous, I think over half of their budget goes to education. When we go down there, they, and this is coming from myself, the furthest, before I was involved with Caballeros del Sol, the furthest I've ever been is to Nogales, just over the border to buy some Nogales items. My grandmother had come from Chicago, and I'd take her down there, and we'd have a good time. Now I go down there, and they have translators for us, and they're all college students.
Wow.
And you get to talking to them. What do they all want to what are they all majoring in? International business.
Wow. Let's talk a little bit about how people can get involved with the May 18th event, Scott. What do you suggest?
Well, what we're looking for the conference are folks that are interested in those agenda items: trade, logistics, tourism, sports and athletics, and education. So folks that we haven't already reached out to participate. The conference is limited seating. It's only going to be 200 to 250 people. We're cutting it off at 250, and 50 to 75 of those will be Mexico representatives. But there also is a business matchmaking component, which is being co-sponsored by the Tucson Hispanic Chamber and the U.S. Commerce Service, for folks that are interested in meeting their counterparts across the border and doing business. And then we finally end up with a dinner event with major sponsor Casino del Sol, At their facility that evening.
The best way is to go to CaballerosDelSol.com for more information?
Absolutely.
Quick question. A caller didn't want to go on the air, Scott. He says professors at the U of A claim the State Department says Mexico is unfit and unsafe for travel. Can you comment about traveling to Mexico? You've not had any problems yourself?
No, like I said, I had never ventured further off over the border than Nogales, and that was years ago before all the travel advisories, and I'd never ventured further than a cruise boat potentially. And now when you go down there, they are open and safe, and it's a great venue to go down to.
Thanks a lot. That event at the Westward Look on May the 18th. We continue with the Buckmaster Show, our CEO interview series presented by Trio. That's next.
SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. The White House is sidestepping questions about how the U.S. might resolve the predicament surrounding a blind Chinese activist who sought refuge in the American embassy. There are reports that Chen Guangcheng now wants to leave the country. Mitt Romney's criticizing the Obama administration for allowing Chen to leave the embassy. The last day of military service has arrived for a Marine Corps sergeant discharged for criticizing President Obama on Facebook. Sergeant Gary Stein had called into question the Pentagon's policies about social media and its limits on the speech of active duty military personnel. The family of the Florida A&M University drum major who died in a hazing incident says the school's band should be disbanded until further notice. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 56. More details at srnnews.com.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
One of Broadway's biggest hits is on tour and coming soon. Disney and Cameron McIntosh's Mary Poppins, live on stage. Variety raves Mary Poppins is the rare touring production that over-delivers at every level. And now is your chance to experience it.
Disney's Mary Poppins, May 16th through the 20th at the Tucson Music Hall. Tickets start at $29. Purchase tickets at BroadwayInTucson.com or call 1-800-745-3000.
.1234 on the Buckmaster Show. Welcome back. Every 3 weeks or so here on our program, we introduce you to a leader of one of Arizona's largest companies and organizations. The CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Trio, offering programs and services to support the attraction and expansion of companies that offer primary high-wage jobs to our citizens. Since 2005, Trio has facilitated the relocation and/or expansion of more than 40 companies in the Tucson region, representing nearly 11,000 jobs and a $2 billion impact. For more information, visit Trio, that's TREOAZ.org. Today, we welcome Guy Gunther. Mr. Gunther is Vice President and General Manager for Northern and Southern Arizona for CenturyLink, where he oversees voice, data, entertainment, and managed services across all residential, government, and business sectors. Guy has 20 years of senior management experience in finance, strategy, sales, and marketing. Guy Gunther's service on this or to this community includes he serves on the board of Trio and the Tucson Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce. Guy, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, it's a delight to have you on, and I think a lot of people have questions about CenturyLink, the company, and the changeover from Quest. Tell me a little bit about what are we talking about? Who is CenturyLink?
You know, it's interesting. CenturyLink is an old company. It's been around since about the mid-1930s, but it's a new brand, relatively speaking, out here. They had started as a small rural phone company in Louisiana and grew from that point, mainly through merger and acquisition over the years. Several major acquisitions, the largest in their history was with Embark, which was the former local division of Sprint. That really took CenturyLink to the next level. And then, of course, a year ago, April 1st of 2011, when they acquired Quest, it became the third largest telecommunications company in the nation. So it's a name that we may not be as familiar with, it's certainly a company that's been around for a long time. And over the past year, we've been working to make sure people are familiar with CenturyLink and getting that brand out there. You know, when we think about a merger, we always wonder, well, what happened to the old Quest and all those employees? It's really been a process of building on that legacy. Quest had, at that time of the merger, about 430 employees here in Tucson and Southern Arizona, and we still have those employees. But what was different is that Quest was very centrally organized and made a lot of the decisions at the corporate headquarters in Denver. CenturyLink is still headquartered in Louisiana, but headquartered is probably a strong word because they're a very decentralized company. All of the local teams, of which I'm the local team here representing Tucson, as you said, in Southern Arizona and Northern Arizona. So we're out in the field. It brings us closer to the customers. We can make decisions around our investments. We can respond quicker to customer questions or concerns. So it's just a different operating model. We still have the employees who are out there day in and day out servicing customers, but what's better is that the local leadership now is in place where we can do things a little bit more nimbly than Quest could have done just because it's a different way of operating.
And I will tell you, and I have had a personal experience myself dealing with your customer service, it's much quicker than before with Quest, and I've heard this from other people as well. So it sounds like CenturyLink is making a huge effort to be customer-oriented.
That's exactly right. That's really what it comes down to in the telecommunications space. A lot of the products, there are competitors out there that can provide those products and services. So at the end of the day, it really comes down to how good of customer service can you provide, how quickly can you respond to customers, and how can you really understand those communities that you work in. I mean, the people who work for our company, they also live here, and we want to be invested in those communities and a part of what they're doing, not just when we're on the job, but after work and where our kids go to school and everything else. It's a very refreshing way of reinvigorating what used to be the Quest brand and introducing a new one.
Guy, from a marketing point of view, and you do have a marketing background, when you do a brand change like this over a year ago, these brand and changing the logos, it does take time, doesn't it, for the public to understand that Quest is no longer here and CenturyLink is here?
That's exactly right. And there's the period of confusion. And, you know, it's typical when you have brand changeovers like this. And a part of what we've been doing is building that trust in the CenturyLink brand. And it's more than just being able to provide some commercials or other marketing tactics. You really have to walk the talk. So, you know, a lot of our commercials will speak to the fact that we're involved in the communities and that our brand mission or vision is to connect communities, improve lives, and strengthen businesses. We also try to fulfill that by what we do. So it's a combination of having the right messages, like you said, from a marketing perspective, but then also executing so that people believe you and you build that trust.
You know, your industry, the telecom industry, is probably one of the fastest growing industries with changes happening, it seems like, overnight. How do you keep up with what's going on, and where is that industry headed, Guy?
Well, that's for sure. It is rapidly, and it always has been changing. And I think there will continue to be consolidations in the industry, because what we used to think of as a telephone company, well, the telephone company is now a data company or an entertainment company. So I think from a customer standpoint, that's really where we got to put ourselves. The industry is going to evolve where the customers and those out in the community that use these services want it to evolve. And I think one of the things that has been out there a while, and we've got to do a better job of addressing this, is simplicity. It's overwhelming. There are so many choices. From a technological standpoint, it's hard to decipher if I need this or that. And I think where the industry is evolving and where it needs to go is making it simpler for customers, making it not only simple for them to purchase it and understand it, but to use it or to change it or to integrate it into their lives. You know, let's take high-speed internet. For a while, it was about just building bandwidth, and we were talking about speeds, you know, this speed being this, or this network faster than that network. Now it's not really about speed. It's around what can I get over that bandwidth? What can you do to improve my life? What are the applications? So in addition to making it simpler, I think the evolution is going to be around applications that actually utilize that bandwidth to help people manage their busy lives, keep track of their families, and get the things done in their day that they need to get done.
This is the CEO interview series presented by Trio. Guy Gunther is with us. Guy represents the Tucson area, and I guess Flagstaff and Northern Arizona also is your territory as well, Guy, huh?
Yeah, that's correct. And yeah. So I maintain my primary office here in Tucson, and then do go up to the northern part of the state with a secondary office in Flagstaff, and we have a couple hundred employees up there. Managing really the northern part outside of, you know, the metro Phoenix area all the way up through the Grand Canyon.
You know, you said something earlier that touched something with me, that word simplify. Our lives have become, Guy Gunther, so complicated. There's so many things going on, this and that. And I think consumers are looking for, in many cases, a simple solution.
That's correct. And it starts with how they learn about something. Oftentimes, people are afraid to ask questions because they think they should know, or they're embarrassed that they may not know a new technology. If you're like me, you know, we learn a lot from the younger generations, our kids.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think we could take a lesson from that. And if we can present and explain things in such a way that, to your point, makes it simple for people to understand not just what they need, but how do they use it and how it can really help them, as opposed to just being one more thing they've got to manage during the course of the day.
And so many times your demographics go after that younger audience, but you know, and I know, my generation, the baby boom generation, has a lot of income to spend, but in many cases they are looking, Guy, for a simple solution.
Yeah, that's right, and it needs to fit their lives. You know, we for so long had a one-size-fits-all. And now, because of these demographic changes that you're talking about, we've got to be able to adapt our offerings. Some people, they, you know, in this day and time, don't have traditional phone lines or, you know, the plain old phone service that we used to provide. They're wireless. And so much of the new generation or the younger generation is wireless. So we've adapted our service offerings so you don't necessarily have to have a phone line. You can bundle our services and not have a phone line. Even a couple years ago, it would have been so hard for us to even contemplate that. But it's because of what I said before, you know, customers are dictating that change, and we really got to meet them where they are. And if it's simpler for them or it's more convenient for them, to acquire our services and use them a certain way, well, then we've got to deliver it.
Guy Gunther, thank you very much for spending some time with us talking about CenturyLink and its role here in Southern Arizona after taking over in the merger and taking over for Quest about a year ago. Guy, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, you're welcome, and thanks again for having me on.
Okay, Guy Gunther on our CEO interview series presented by Trio. For more information about Trio, visit Trio, that's TREOAZ.org.
One of Broadway's biggest hits is on tour and coming soon. Disney and Cameron Mackintosh's Mary Poppins, live on stage. Variety raves Mary Poppins is the rare touring production that over-delivers at every level. And now is your chance to experience it.
Disney's Mary Poppins, May 16th through the 20th at the Tucson Music Hall. Tickets start at $29. Purchase tickets at BroadwayInTucson.com or call 1-800-745-3000.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Once a month, we talk about legal issues here on the Buckmaster Show, and there is never a shortage of legal issues in this state. Attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown & Associates, with offices in Tucson and Phoenix, joins me now. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's a very bright light in this area of the law, and we're always delighted to hear from him. He's the author of 2 very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, his other book, What You Need to Know. Don Luce, good to see you, counselor.
Great to be back, Bill.
So much going on, as I say, in the legal area, and the big focus, of course, the U.S. Supreme Court hearing arguments in the Governor Brewer's appeal on the SB 1070 ruling. How do you think it went, the Supreme Court? I know you don't want to really comment, give a prediction, but did the state do well in the presentation?
I think so. I think it went well for the state of Arizona. I think that the justices asked questions suggesting that they may uphold some of the major provisions of SB 1070. Your listeners will recall that Judge Bolton in Phoenix struck down or prevented implementation of a half a dozen of those provisions, and the Supreme Court may actually rule that they're enforceable. And that would be an interesting result because this has been on hold for about 2 years now.
Well, it gets a little bit confusing for us, Don Luce, because now we hear that the governor is facing a May 9th deadline, just a few days away, for filing her appeal of a ruling that I guess this is just another provision of
yes.
SB 1070.
It
a little
is.
Bit confusing.
Well, when the original decision was rendered in July of 2010, Judge Bolton said that there are certain provisions in SB 1070, such as the requirement that a police officer with reasonable suspicion verify the person's legal standing to be in the country. Those kinds of provisions were probably unconstitutional, and so she prevented those from taking effect, from going into law. But she allowed a provision to stand that had to do with day laborers. And now she's said, well, that provision too looks to be unconstitutional, so I'm not going to allow the enforcement of that provision. That's the one that Governor Brewer is now deciding whether to appeal from or not. So one set of rulings have already made their way up to the Supreme Court. An oral argument on those was held last week. But yet we have another case coming out of Arizona concerning a different provision that the governor is going to have to make decisions about that may send that provision up through the appellate courts as well.
So this is going to be around for a while, it looks like.
It looks to be a possibility. But on the other hand, depending on how the court rules on the appeal that was heard last week, this day labor provision may be mooted.
We're speaking with Don Luce, Attorney Don Luce, who with offices in Phoenix and here in Tucson. And we've been talking a lot about business as you have been listening to the show today, Don Luce. And I want to bring up this Arizona House passing a bill that would release businesses in Arizona from punitive damage claims. What's this all about?
Well, this is essentially a battle between the Chamber of Commerce and the trial lawyers, but on a larger scale, it has to do with the concept of should certain parties who do bad things be subject to punitive damages, which, as the name suggests, are intended to punish. They're not intended to compensate the injured party for his or her damages. Rather, they're intended to deter that party and other parties who may be inclined to do the same bad thing from doing it. And punitive damages are awarded in addition to compensatory damages, and the compensatory damages are what the person's actual injuries are. The punitive damages are on top of that. Under this proposal, punitive damages would be limited to only the most egregious cases, and most cases in which punitive damages could now be awarded would no longer be eligible for punitive damage awards. It's a major change in the law of torts, which talks about negligence and motor vehicle accidents. And
so this could have a big impact on consumers, couldn't it?
Very much so. Now, having said that,
yeah,
one of the interesting things is people who read and hear about headline awards of millions of dollars in punitive damages, those are the exception to the rule. A study by the U.S. Department of Justice has showed that punitive damages only average about $38,000. I mean,
wow.
they're not millions of dollars.
Now, you would never know that from, of course, all the headlines.
You would not. And you would also not realize that punitive damages are only awarded in about 3% of trials that are won by the plaintiff. So 97% of cases that actually go to trial do not involve punitive damages, but the 3% that do only result in a median award of about $38,000.
And that legislation, which has already passed through the Senate, is now headed to Governor Brewer's desk. We are talking with Attorney Don Luce. Once a month, he comes on our program to talk about legal issues. There's been a lot of talk about, religion has been one of the focal points of the 2012 legislative session, which is quickly winding down in Phoenix, Don Luce.
Some could say quite accurately that it's been the agenda of the 2012 legislature. But anyway, there is a Senate bill that still needs House approval, shielding professionals from losing their licenses based on religious objections. Now, the interesting thing about this bill, in my estimation, is that the standard is whether the professional is adhering to a, quote, sincerely held religious belief. Okay. Sincerely held. Well, we can talk about subjective versus objective standards, but I would submit to you that this is about the most subjective standard you're ever going to see. I really don't know what evidence would be required to show that somebody was adhering to a sincerely held religious belief or not.
Would you need documentation that you are in a pew every Sunday morning? Or
well, I don't know. But under this measure, which hasn't yet been passed by the House, as I mentioned, but may very well be, doctors, attorneys, pharmacists, nurses, nurse practitioners, physicians' assistants, and other professionals who are licensed by the state of Arizona would not be subject to censure or any sort of reprimand for refusing to do something that violated their sincerely held religious belief. Now, I think the thing that comes to most people's minds is, well, does that mean that if you go to a pharmacy and you have a prescription for birth control pills, can the pharmacist refuse to give them to you?
On the pharmacist's religious beliefs.
Possibly. Yeah. The answer is possibly yes.
Anything on that anti-stalking bill? I guess that is still very much fluid at the House of Representatives.
It is. This is a measure that would extend the existing basically harassment law to cover smartphones and cyber communications. There's been a lot of back and forth on this. The free speech advocates contend that any sort of regulation would violate the First Amendment. But on the other hand, you have prosecutors and others who say, look, there are certain types of communications which are not protected by the Constitution, and whether somebody's using the telephone or a smartphone or the internet, it shouldn't matter. If it's intended to annoy or harass someone, then it ought to be a crime. And that's what this measure is all about.
So whether or not the First Amendment applies here, this is really going to determine, well, I guess it is a First Amendment issue, very much so.
Absolutely. But the thing to remember is that the First Amendment doesn't protect all kinds of speech. So the most, graphic example is that pornography, which is technically a First Amendment right, is not protected because it is offensive to the community. And the Supreme Court has ruled many times that there are certain types of speech that are not protected by the First Amendment. The proponents of this legislation, which has been called the anti-stalking bill, contend that it ought to be a crime to intentionally annoy or offend someone, even if you do it online. So that's what this law is about.
Don Luce is with us. He is the author of Arizona Laws 101, one of his two books, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers. You are revising the book, and to show you how fast the legal system moves in this state, there's a lot of revision to do.
Well, fortunately, I finished the revision. I'm happy to say it was really a labor of love, but it was a big project. The book went from 68,000 words from the original version to 75,000 words for the second edition, but it's completely updated, and all of the new laws are included in the second edition, which should be coming out next month.
And your other book, Estate Planning in Arizona. If you haven't done estate planning, Don Luce, I recommend it. You recommend it. Everybody should think about the future.
Absolutely. And it doesn't matter how much money or how many assets you have.
Yeah, you don't have to be a millionaire to be thinking about your estate.
Absolutely not.
Don Luce, thank you very much for being with us. And we will look forward to visiting with you in early June.
My pleasure, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Don Luce of Luce Brown & Associates. They have offices in Phoenix and here in Tucson. And as Don said, his new book, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, that should be coming out, the revised edition, very soon. His other book, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by our friends at Flowers Rieger and Associates Certified Public Accountants. We really like CPA Michael C. Flowers. Great team of people he has over there, 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Yes, the tax season is over. However, if you're in business, you need a CPA any time of the year. We strongly recommend Flowers Rieger and Associates. That's going to do it for the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Professor Kate Kensky from the University of Arizona Department of Communication with us tomorrow on Friday Focus. Should be fun. Stay with us. See you tomorrow.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.